did meet a placid dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah.
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's an awesome eat, man.
I got one.
Oh, damn, I got him. You got it. I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
And with that beer pour, you know that it's Monday evening. Good evening, everybody. I am the host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. I appreciate everybody joining us tonight. Already in the chat room there, got a little list of my good friends, some from close by, some from not so close by. we'll get to you guys all in just a minute. Got my good buddy Rob DeVore of Yaktastic Adventures on the line here. I'll get to you in just a minute, Rob. Man, crazy weekend. We had I had a very busy weekend. I didn't get to do much fishing, not as much as I wanted to. Saturday was good. Got up early, hit the water, started throwing plastics, and turned into top water, and top water was the answer. I was pretty surprised with the cold water that the fish were as active as they were, but I come across an area in the Indian River that was loaded up with some docks, and I got a chance to watch a few redfish crush some finger mullet, probably the last time I'll see that for the season, up against the bank, which was pretty cool. So ended up having a good day on top water. Caught a 24-inch redfish on top water, caught a 19-inch trout on top water, a 23-inch trout on top water, a 25.5-inch trout on top water, and a 27-inch trout on top water, which was awesome. However, as I get out of my kayak to try and get a photo of the bigger of the trout, I pull my camera out of my dry box, and I realize that I have left my SD card at home. Yep. So apparently some folks think that if there's no pictures, it never really happened. But you know what? I know it happened. So that's cool. Let's see what else is going on here in the Space Coast area. Oh, I got a good one for you. We actually have a Jaws. We actually have a great white shark that is cruising up and down the eastern seaboard that has been tagged by Chris Fisher and those guys. And this fish is actually named after Chris's mom. It's on its way down from up in New England. And I believe right now it's somewhere just south of Jacksonville. So pretty interesting. I know that they come here every year. We see them every year. We don't see them every year, but people see them every year off the coast of Port Canaveral. And a few divers have spotted some a little bit further south. But 'tis the season for the great white shark, man. They tend to come on down here and follow that right whale migration and look for calves and whatever else they're going to eat. While they're cruising around, but that's pretty cool. And there's actually a website, and I don't know what it is. If any of you guys are in the chat room know what I'm talking about, you might throw the link up in the chat room there to kind of let people get an opportunity to check it out. But I'm sure you can Google it and just figure it out. My computer's a little slow tonight, so I don't want to start opening up a bunch of different browser windows. But without further ado, let me get to Mr. Rob Bad Backcast DeVore. How are you, buddy?
Hey, man. I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic, Rob.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for having me on, man. Hey, you know that Great White Shark website is pretty flippin' awesome.
Yeah. Do you happen to know what it is?
I don't know it offhand, but the link is in the Space Coast Kayak Anglers Club web Facebook page there. And that's where I found it, and it's really awesome.
It is. It's loaded with a bunch of information that I didn't know. And
that's
it's
a pretty
neat.
Big that's a pretty big great white shark there off the coast of what do you call it? Jacksonville. Yeah. Did it go any further south?
I hadn't looked, but I know that last year they had one come all the way down and kind of hung out off of Fort Canaveral for a couple of weeks and then went sort of heading back north. So
yeah.
Scuba Stan was put in there.
Some of them come south for wintertime, but that was a pretty big fish, man. 16 feet long and 3,400 pounds. That's that's bigger than your truck, bro.
Yeah, I know. That's a stud right there. That's one of those ones that I think my blood would run cold if I saw that fish in the water. But Scuba Stan just put up in the chat room, OCEARCH, OCEARCH.com. So you guys want to check it out. What's going on over there in the West Coast, Rob?
Well, this time of year, as evidenced yesterday, the waters clear up, the temperature drops, and yesterday the water was crystal clear out on the flats, St. Joseph Sound. As you know, it's when the water temp drops like that, the big trout come out in large numbers. So that's what I was fishing for yesterday. Drifting the grass flats and casting. I started with topwater and no dice with topwater, but just casting over sand holes and switched over to the Z-Man shrimp, and that was the ticket. Not a lot of numbers yesterday. Did catch a nice 23, 24-inch trout off the Z-Man and got some good footage of it. And but that was it yesterday. That was like the only fish that we saw. Also in the potholes, you might find a lot. It's the same potholes that these trout are going to be hanging out in. You might find some flounder. And it's the same deal. You know, any sort of a shrimp imitation, throw it on a little jig head, toss it out there in the sand hole, 2 feet of water, and that's the ticket. We went really shallow, too, man. I mean, I was in, you know, a foot or less and still no dice. Couldn't find any fish. I was really surprised. This particular flat is usually good to me with the big trout, man. But that's what's going on the West Coast, man, so far.
Sweet. Yeah, that's good.
And I know all about leaving your SD card at home, dude. I just did that recently. Couldn't figure out why my front camera wouldn't turn on, you know?
Yeah.
I knew it was on because I could see the little red light, but it wouldn't record. And I'm like, what the heck's going on here?
Right.
And, the SD card was still sitting in the Mac.
And I was, I was kind of bummed, man. That fish was really, really pretty. My big trout, the 27-incher, was really, really pretty and super fat. And, man, I wanted to get a shot of that fish so bad. But, you know what? We live in life. It happened.
27?
27 inches.
Wow. You know,
that's my biggest one thus far for winter. So
that's a nice fish, man.
Yeah. You know, it was funny because everything happened early. And typically in the wintertime, or not really winter yet, but, you know, as it starts getting cool like it has, I usually don't even leave the house until, you know, 7 o'clock or so. And I got down to the river. The sun wasn't even up yet. And I said, well, what the heck? I went ahead and launched and started paddling in my spot, my trout hole, which if you guys followed any of my Facebook page posts this past year or this past winter, you know that I was lucky enough to get onto some really big trout all winter long. And I went back just to take a look, you know, just to see what was there, if they had shown up yet. And obviously they have. So I'm not going to beat that spot to death, but it's usually a pretty consistent area to go find a big fish. And I was actually really surprised with the redfish on top water. That was cool, but you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's strange fishing right now, man. I mean, the fish with the water being as cool as it is, I was just pretty interested to see them as aggressive as they were. But
one thing I was working top water yesterday, mirror mullet, chrome with a green back, and with the super bright, out, no cloud cover, and the water was so crystal clear. I mean, it was like Florida spring clear, man, yesterday. So when I wasn't getting any dice on the top water, I thought, well, maybe it's got too much flash. Maybe it's scaring the fish. So I switched over to a dark, instead of flashy, more of a muted color with a darker back, and still no dice on the top water. And I mean, dude, you could swear that there was fish in these holes, you know. Something about it, the top water, they just didn't like it, and they weren't into it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I ended up having to work the top water rather slow to get the first few bites. The redfish ate the plug actually when it was resting. I threw it out and I twitched it probably a good dozen times and then stopped for a second to try and reset my stakeout pole, and as it's floating on the surface, he came up and crushed it. So that was pretty cool. But the bigger fish wouldn't eat, the bigger trout wouldn't eat until it really moved that bait, pretty quick. And it was, 27 just clobbered it. I got to put a picture up of that plug, because the plug, the hooks on that plug, I'm amazed that I was able to keep him on, because he damn near bent the hook straight on the Zara Spook. And that's what I was throwing Zara Spook Jr. In trout color. But I'll tell you what's a good color, too. That worked for me pretty well last year was black, believe it or not. All black, just a black plug. And if you can't find one, paint it.
It's funny. Keith was out, let's see, it was that weekend of the Addictive Fishing Tournament, and he was out on the same flat. And I was supposed to take Austin and all those guys out there on those flats, because I knew that we could get a winning trout out of there, you know. But they ended up fishing at Double Branch, and I didn't get to go with them. And Keith thought that I was fishing with them, so he didn't come and get me. So anyway, he's out there, and on that same flat, on a chug bug, he gets a 27-inch trout.
Nice.
I mean, right there, you know, and that'll win you the trout division in any tournament.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's
and a matching fish.
What's that?
And a matching redfish on a chug bug.
Oh, very cool. I like a chug bug, man. Chug bugs are great.
Those are great too.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'll tell you what, the Spook Junior last year though was like, that's a moneymaker, man. If I needed to pick out a plug that I can go out and pretty much guarantee catching a big trout on, or even a redfish, that Spook Junior is the answer for me. But real quick, not to change the subject, but I will for just a second. I want to say, I see that Captain Mike Ortego is in the chat room there from Fishing Florida Radio and Tackle Webs. I want to give Captain Mike an opportunity. Or not an opportunity, I want to give him a little shout out there. They just had their Gumbo Palooza this past weekend. I know a bunch of folks went out there, and it was a huge success. And kudos to them. I talked to Steve Chapman earlier today. Steve Chapman, Mike Ortego, and Boudreau are going to also donate some raffle stuff to the door prizes to the Boondoggle for February. So that's going to be awesome. Steve kind of gave me an idea of what they might do, and they'll be killer, I'll tell you that much. And I want to thank everybody who, from my Space Coast Kayaking group that went over there to show some support to those guys. You know, appreciate that, gentlemen and ladies. And cool. Hopefully, I get to go to the next one. Had a wedding to go to, which was awesome, but still. And what else? Oh, next year, since we're talking about boondoggle stuff and whatever else, next year there's going to be another kayak fishing tournament here in Central Florida. So mark it down, pencil it in, whatever. We're looking at the month of May for hosting a kayak tournament. Myself and the fine folks from Fish Skins Apparel have been talking the last couple of weeks about this potential tournament, and spoke with Captain Mike Gordigo and Steve Chapman a little bit in reference to it. So it looks like we're going to be able to have Steve Chapman and Fishing Florida Radio and Mike Gordigo helping us out with that. So it'll be a good event. For any of you guys that are, what May will be the Cars Park tourney. Well, maybe we'll have two tournaments in May, whatever. But it should be pretty cool. So the guys from Fish Skin just had their big tournament this past weekend, and they had 200 anglers signed up. So that was a great success. And we're looking to build off of that with just a strict kayak division or kayak tournament through those guys. So it'll be interesting. If May doesn't work out because of Cars Park, whatever, we'll pick a different date. But tentatively, it'll be in May. And for that, of course, we have this.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There you go. And not to beat a dead horse, but got some really exciting new sponsors for door prizes, some big ones that I can't release yet. And today I picked up another one. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Orca, like the whale, coolers, which if you guys are not familiar with Orca coolers, new company. They are also a roto-molded style cooler company. They right now they're doing a 75 quart roto-molded cooler. Ugh, God, I don't know why it's always a tongue twister for me. But come January 15th, they'll have, I think, six different size options. Interesting tidbit. Those coolers are also manufactured in the same facility that makes Jackson kayaks. So that's pretty cool. I don't think that there's any relation between the two companies. I think it's just purely a business thing that they mold their coolers at their facility. So, but anyways, they've agreed to donate one of their sweet coolers to our door prizes. So thank you very much. Check Facebook later on tonight after the show. I'm going to put a link up to their website and get some more details for you guys. As soon as I can get them, I'll post them up. As far as some of the other vendors that have come forward and our big sponsors who have stepped up. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it or were listening to Chip's show on Thursday night, but I'd like to take this opportunity also to... Yeah, I see you, Peppy. To thank Jackson Kayaks for stepping up and agreeing to donate a boat to our door prizes. So if you guys are not familiar, there's a lot of guests in the chat room. And guests, if you want to, you can sign into the chat room by way of Facebook and get in there and talk amongst the likes of Peppy and Scuba Stan and Yak Group and everybody else that's in there. Which boat? I don't know what boat they've donated yet. We haven't really talked about it, but they've agreed to donate a boat, so that's cool. And, yeah, so we'll see. But I can tell you this, that the other things that are coming down the chute are going to be really, really good. And if you're not signed up to go to the Boondoggle yet and you haven't made up your mind whether or not you want to go, you might want to make the trip because it's going to be worth it. The tour prizes are going to be awesome, and food's going to be killer, and entertainment sounds like it's going to be fun. So fishing should be amazing, and, of course, as always, the camaraderie that will go along with it is always, for me, the best part. But anyhow, let's see. Alan's has a defect. Oh, because Alan can't stand up in a – or can't sit or stand up in a – and a kayak, apparently. Yeah. Whatever. Anyways, we're not going to get into that again, Peppy, because I feel bad. So I think he's still going through some rehab type classes for his falling out disorder that he has. He had too much blood in his alcohol stream. That's probably what the problem was. Anyway, so looking forward to this upcoming week and weekend. Looks like we're probably going to get some rain during this week. So that will be interesting. Looks like we might get the cold front pushing in as I'm watching the digital Doppler X3 on Channel 13 News. And... you know, whatever. It is what it is. Get out and fish. Find yourself a protected area to go. I saw that a couple of guys are going to go on to the lagoon this week and hopefully finding some redfish on fly. Hold on. Let's back up. Yeah, that's right. A new Diablo yakker did fall off his Diablo this weekend with his... 4-foot open array radar dome that he's got on the front of his Diablo there. It's the largest fish measuring board I've ever seen in my entire life. But Adam is his name. So there you go, Adam. The whole world knows that you've fallen off your Diablo kayak, one of the most stable kayaks on the planet. I don't know how you pull that off, but kudos. No motor zone board, yeah. That's a no motor zone fail. But anyhow, it's for measuring manatees. Anyways, I gotta stop reading the chat room. Let's see. Next week, I just want to let you guys know real quick, next week I'm going to have a special guest on the show, and that gentleman will be none other than the president of the UCF Knights Fishing Club. If my computer wasn't so stinking slow, I'd give you their actual page name on Facebook. So much for that. Anyhow, I'll have him on the show, and he'll be able to talk a little bit about what's going on over there at UCF, University of Central Florida. They are right down the street, basically, from us here in Titusville, right down State Road 50. And, it's pretty cool, man. Pretty cool situation they got going on out there. They got a bunch of college kids that like to fish. They put together a group, and they have all kinds of little outings. And there you go. Thank you, Mike. Real Knights, R-E-E-L, Knights, as in the UCF Knights. Oh, Mike's on it. Captain Mike Ortego is also a UCF alumni and a former UCF football player. So he knows all things UCF. Thank you, sir. But, Chad Cook is his name, and Chad Cook will be joining me again next week. It should be an interesting show. I know there's a bunch of kayakers over there. I know a lot of those, the UCF guys kayak. I think they actually have a kayaking team or something over there. But anyway, it'll be interesting. Fishing locally, get back on track, Chuck. Man, redfish have been on fire. Peppy caught a real nice redfish. If he wants to call in and tell the story, feel free, buddy. 714-816-4727. With multiple spots. I think your fish had like 12 spots or something like that, didn't it, Peppy? But, It's been good, man. Early morning bite hasn't been too bad, but I've been finding that most of the fish have been really good right after 9 o'clock, from 9 o'clock on and into the afternoon. 2 weeks ago, I don't really have to go back into it, but 2 weeks ago we crushed it out in no motor zone for 2 day total of 21 slot size reds and probably half of that in big trout over 20 inches. So it was good. It's been good. It's going to continue to be good. Black drummer started to show up on the flats. Pompano started to show up on the flats from Titusville down through Melbourne. The Holliver Canal is getting crazy at night for anybody who wants to go out and do some nighttime fishing. I've gotten some pretty good reports from guys about fishing Holliver at night. Might be a thing to do there for us. Guys, if you want to go out there and hit it up at night, you should do it. But, it's been good. Flounder moving in. I heard got some good reports out of the lagoon already. The flounder have been pretty spot on. So, get out there and throw some jigs. I'm happy to announce that Kayaks by Bow is now completely stocked up with Slayer SSTs, Slayer SSBs, Slayer jig heads, Slayer hooks. Also have Mission Fishing. We've got some DOA products. I heard little birdie had told me that there might be a possibility of there being some Black Dog custom rods to be had there at Kayaks by Bow here soon. I want to check into that. And then also, too, coming up, I forgot, this weekend or this upcoming week, guess who is going to have another tenth tail? Mosquito Creek Outdoors. So anybody who's in the market for anything outdoor type related, whether it be fishing stuff or what have you, you may want to try and take a ride over there to Mosquito Creek and see what all they have. I know I'm going to definitely try and get over there Thursday for the first day, if I can, to see what all is available as far as camping type stuff, because the wife and I definitely need some camping gear to boondoggle with. So should be awesome. That sale, I believe, starts at 9 o'clock on Thursday. And if it's anything like the last sale they had, if you're not there at 9 o'clock on Thursday, you'll probably miss out on a lot of the really good stuff. I don't think we're going to carry any GoPros at Kayaks by Bow, but you never know. I got a call on the line, 305 area code. Is that you, Pep?
Yeah, that's me.
Mr. Miami.
Yeah, ex-Miami. That's it. No more of that.
Yeah, man. Tell us a fish story about your 12-spot redfish.
Oh, man. It was a pretty redfish, real pretty redfish. Went out to Thousand Islands on Saturday, try to hide from the wind. Out there.
Thanks for the invite, by the way.
Oh, man, I invited everybody in the group, man.
Yeah.
It wasn't specific. I was just outed, Wade's spot. You know, that's Wade's secret little place, man. Wade doesn't get out of there, man. That's where Wade fishes every single day, it seems like. But went out there on Saturday, and it was like four or five of us. Alan was out there. Lenny was out there. New Diablo owner. Adam was out there, took a swim to it at the same time. It was Wade was out there. We were all out there. And first thing in the morning, I was actually on the phone on hold, waiting to go on the radio with Mike and Steve and Boudreaux and those guys. And while I was on hold, I caught that redfish while I was on the hold with them. So I was hoping they wouldn't. I was actually hoping they would not put me on the radio, while I was trying to, unhook the fish and take pictures and the whole stuff and everything. Luckily, it worked out. But I threw a Slayer. Actually, was working a little point, and I threw a Slayer SSB Golden Brim. Man, I twitched it one time, and that redfish was on. So, but it was a slow bite. It was a slow bite that morning, Saturday morning. It seemed like the water was cold. It was a cloudy day. sun wasn't coming out. Sun didn't come out. We got off the water kind of early, like around 9:30, and the sun still wasn't up. So, for you it was different, though. Where you were, I guess the fight was on for you.
Yeah, it was good, man. Like I said, what was funny is that this one particular pocket that I was fishing, the bottom goes from being really hard sand bottom to being really, really soft, almost mud-like. And I don't know if it was the fact that it was muddy bottom or it may have been holding a little bit more heat. Where's the invite, Chuck? Yeah, well, not to that location. Listen, you guys just fished 1,000 Islands. Ain't nothing secret about that. You were talking about, like, a favorite trout hole. I won't even take my best friend to my favorite trout hole. My wife would be the only person that would be allowed to go with me there. But anyhow, so because I know how you guys are. Yeah, taking pictures of the background and everything else. Gotcha. But
don't take Lenny out to your favorite trout hole there, because
I'm not worried about Lenny.
I told Lenny about one spot last year, about some redfish being caught in this one spot. Lenny must have fished it like about 6 times in a row.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Me and you had that conversation. I'm actually more concerned about the gentleman that just logged in. He's got friends that tell everybody in the whole world where the fish are. I'm not even going to mention any names there. You know who you are. But anyway, at the end of the day, man, it was neat. The bottom, again, goes from hard sand to mud. And what I found was that the finger mullet, real small finger mullet, were way up against the bank. And as they tried to go from dock to dock, they were getting just hammered. And I'm not sure, but I think there's a creek that's up in the woods that makes its way down through next to these docks, okay? Because there just seems to be a little bit of water movement way up in, he's laughing now, way up in the trees, or not in the trees, up at the bank. And so I just focused on the area where I saw mullet getting thrashed, and it didn't make sense to me because the sun wasn't that high to throw the plastic at that time. I cut it off and threw the top water, and man, it was on. And I probably could have stayed there and caught all morning. I got a text from my wife, and she was just wanted. She was in desperate need of caffeine, and there's no normal coffee in the house at the time. It's only decaf, and so I'm a good husband, and I understand that when my wife needs caffeine, it's best for my children and everybody else around that she gets her caffeine fix. So I was happy with what I caught. That was a freaking tremendous morning. And then I paddled back to the truck. On the way back to the truck, was greeted by a bunch of porpoises, and that was pretty cool to watch them kind of thrash around for a minute. And call it a morning. I was off the water by 9:30.
That's cool. You had a great morning, man. When I heard what you caught, man, that's freaking awesome.
Day. But it's funny because this spot, I'm telling you right now, is like the glory hole for trout. I've never found an area, a short area, that holds as many trout as this particular location. I mean, it's almost absurd. I had an opportunity to fish it quite a bit last year, and I pulled 2 fish out of that area that were over 30 inches. My big trout last year was 32 and like a quarter. The other one was just over 30 inches. But, man, I saw some just giants in this area cruising in super skinny water, couldn't get them to eat nothing. And I was going to say, I can't bring myself to throw bait at trout, you know, when they're firing on the plastics and stuff. It's hard to, or on top waters, it's hard to throw bait at that point. In fact, when I did that article or that interview with Florida Sportsman for the book, I had an opportunity to take the the boss man down there to fish the spot, because I knew I needed to get at least one decent trout on film, and I was able to do it, so it was cool. Joining us in the chat room is the man without a man card, Mr. Austin. How's it going, buddy? yeah, you didn't think I was going to let that slide. But other than that, man, what's your plan for this week, Pep? Are you going to try and fish this weekend or what?
Oh, heck no. Come on, man. You know it's the weekend coming up this weekend is my weekend that I look forward to. I mean, it's like Christmas to me this weekend.
Opening
it's duck,
duck
hunting. That's right. It's the opener of duck season.
Quack, quack. Everyone's seeing ducks. Quack, quack. Yeah. I've never duck hunted.
Yeah, we got to do it. I'll take you out. We'll go out this season, and I'll take you out and stuff. But I'm warning you, man, once you do it, you could become addicted, man.
I talk to a lot of people, man, about duck hunting, and everybody I talk to says the same thing. But before you know it, you're going to be over at Bass Pro ordering from Cabela's, be getting some decoys and buying duck calls. And
I've turned on a lot of people to duck hunting that they started hunting with me, and I tell them, I warn them, I go, listen, I go, this thing is fun, you know, and all kinds of stuff and everything. If you get addicted, just get ready, man. You start buying everything. I mean, you start buying everything that you need and stuff. And it happened to my cousin this year. My cousin's a big deer hunter, real big deer hunter. So he's hunted deer all over the place, and got into duck hunting last season for the first time. And this year he went crazy. He bought a mud boat. He bought a kayak. He bought freaking 4 or 5 dozen decoys. He bought a $1,500 shotgun. He bought, you name it, he bought it. He went crazy.
Yeah, I think I'll forego the duck hunting and pick the turkeys and deer and pigs. Things that I've already got stuff to kill them with. So
it's not a cheap sport. It really isn't. It's not a cheap hunt. It's the gear alone. Once you got all the gear and stuff, I guess it's not that bad. But then the whole thing is, you know, the shotgun shells are expensive. Shotgun shells, you know, those shotgun shells, they make you shoot steel. Everywhere you go, you got to shoot steel, and it's like a case of, you buy 10 boxes, a case will cost you like $130 a case.
Yeah.
And I go through 2 or 3 cases a season. So, it costs, man.
Yeah. Well, I
those
see
little
Lenny
duckies
in there
are expensive, man.
$10,000 in a duck boat.
Yep. Look at Lenny. Lenny's got a bunch of money on his duck boat right there. Look at the airboats. Airboats, man, Jesus. It's not, I mean, I don't even want to talk about that.
Yeah, and I know Mike Ortigo there in the chat room. I know he's a big duck hunter, too. I don't know. I'd like to try it. Never done it, but
it'd
be cool if
we'll
you knew how to kayak, man. That'd be cool.
We'll take you out. I do it out of the kayak a lot, quite a bit, and I actually have Chad Hoover supposedly is coming down this December, and he's going to go duck hunting with me, supposedly. He's coming down. So we'll see that. I mean, I'm sure Chad will probably be doing some filming while we're out there, I'm sure. So
sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. Speaking of Mr. Chad Hoover, I'd like to put out a little shout out to Hook One and Chad Hoover. I got some decals and a hat, I think, and a beanie coming my way, so appreciate that, buddy. Be able to support now as an official part of your crew. Let's see. Who we just have log in there? But, Austin's wife there checking up on him. Yeah. She holds his man card. She's the one that called him out on Facebook. I mean, she was like, oh, I don't even know what word it was that he used, but it was funny. What was that word that he used? Do you remember?
I forgot, man. I forgot the word, but I remember it. It was, plus, he posted that picture of her in a bikini out there.
Yeah. I don't even know what's going on with my Space Coast Kayak Angler page, and man, it's getting weird around this place, man. And you got guys that are using like really weird slang terms. I don't even know. But, diverse from that. But at the end of the day, I don't know. Whatever. I don't even know where I'm going with that. Fishing, man. Let's get back on track. So you're going to be duck hunting. No more fishing for you for the rest of the winter. That's good.
I was going to actually tell you guys, when you were saying that you know some guys are going to Mosquito Lagoon this weekend.
Yeah.
That are going targeting black drum this weekend or something like that, you said?
No, looking for redfish on fly.
Oh, they're fly fishing. Well, those guys, when you talk to them, warn them that this weekend is duck hunting season. It opens up. So they're going to be running into duck hunters out there. So tell them to watch themselves.
Yeah, I got a good story about that. Completely forgot about it. I was down... I was down in the south end of the lagoon, down by Pelican Island, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, dark 30 in the morning, I'm sitting on the flat with stakeout pole out, waiting for the sun to come up. As soon as the sun comes up, off in distance, I hear, and I'm like, freaking ducks, man, this is crazy. Like, I've never heard ducks that early in the morning. And then a few seconds later, you're, wah, 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 wah. And all of a sudden, I thought I did something wrong, and the snipers out at the Space Center were taking aim at me because all hell broke loose. There's gunfire, like, sounded like all around me, and it all of a sudden it just stopped. And then it sounded like it was raining. And I was getting peppered with the remaining shot that was coming down from these guys shooting ducks, apparently. And so needless to say, my morning was cut short where I paddled back over to the truck, moved completely. And but, man, I couldn't believe the amount of duck hunters that hunt down the south end. Like,
yeah, that area.
Like on the south side of the south end, like over on the other side of the culverts. Back up in there.
Yeah, it gets... That area over there gets pretty crowded sometimes, and it probably will be this weekend too.
But, I got up
there
early.
And some of them, you got to be careful because, you know, I'm a duck hunter myself and everything, and I know how these guys are. Some of these guys could be ruthless, I'll tell you that. They, if you come into their decoy spread, if you come into their decoy spread and you're inside their decoys and stuff while they're hunting, the birds will not decoy. If they see you out there in the middle of the water, the birds will not come in. So these guys are going to get ticked off, and they're not going to shoot at you or nothing like that, but I guarantee you they'll probably shoot a couple shots in the air. You know, so... So.
Hey, I don't like these efforts, man. I learned my lesson. We were listening to... This is a funny story. This has nothing to do with kayaks. But... I'll never forget the first time I ever went bird hunting, period. I went out after some snipes, and there's always, you know, those people who don't know what a real snipe is, all they know about is the fictitious animal that you use a net to shake the trees and bushes and catch the snipe in a net, whatever. Now, there's a real bird called a snipe. They're actually really tasty, and they're actually really fun to shoot. Tough to shoot, but they're fun to shoot. Anyway. So we get out there, and we're walking this marsh out by Lake Washington, and they're jumping everywhere. We're shooting hell out of them. And then we got another group of guys walking the opposite direction.
Oh,
so,
boy.
Yeah. Rather than them say, hey, guys, no worries, you know, just come on by, you know, we'll just, you know, cross each other or whatever, or let's turn around and go back the other way, one of the guys decides to shoot a round off in the air, and tend to kind of lean it towards us a little bit, and the raindrops fell, And I wasn't very happy about it, but at the same time, there's a bunch of us idiots out there with shotguns, and this was not the time nor the place to try and show off how manly I was or how manly I thought I was. So I took my lumps and turned around and walked back. Well, a couple of weeks later, we're out there, and we're doing the same thing, walking the same path, and shooting snipe. By the way, if you ever decide to try bird hunting and your target is a snipe, I have found that a single shotgun is probably a more preferred method of shooting a snipe than a semi, because with a semi or a pump, you're going to go through a lot of shells and you're going to be really frustrated. With a single shot, you know you better put that bead on that bird, otherwise you're not going to get it, rather than just throwing the shotgun up and just kind of like throwing off a few rounds and hoping you hit something. But anyhow, that, at least that's my experience. So anyway, we're walking, and same thing. We're walking down, and here comes another group of guys, and it was the same exact group of guys. And before I even had a chance to yell anything out, my buddy shoots off a warning shot and peppers those guys. And so we go back. We're like, all right, whatever. You know, this tiff needs to stop. We go back to the house. We start cleaning all our birds. My buddy gets a phone call. It's a friend of his dad, and he's like, "Hey, were y'all out on the marsh today?" We're like, "Yeah, we're out on the marsh." And he goes, "That warning shot you fired off. Why did you shoot off a warning shot?" And he's like, "Yeah." He goes, "Because you know the week prior we were out there. A couple weeks prior we were out there. We're walking, and somebody fired a warning shot on us. It looked like the same guys." He goes, "It was the same guys." He's like, but when you fired off a warning shot, you need to make sure next time that the angle of your shotgun is much higher than what it was when you fired off your shot. Because when you peppered my buddy, you literally peppered my buddy."
Oh, my God.
Yeah, apparently he had a few birdshot pellets that actually penetrated through his vest and his jacket and stuck them in his skin, his back a little bit while they were turning around. But craziness, man, craziness.
Oh,
and man. I've before they shut down Elk Pond and in that area, I've had duck hunters pepper me over there. I'm walking along the dike road, and I have no idea they're even in there. You guys camouflage up so damn well, and with your pom poms or whatever else the hell you guys are using. No clue you're even there. You look like a damn bush out in the middle of the estuary. And all of a sudden you hear one shot. And then you hear the rain coming. And you're just like, what the? All right, I get it. Turn around and walk back to the truck. But anyway.
The way you'll know a duck hunter out, there's if you see a bunch of ducks on the water that aren't moving, get away. Because those you see
if
a bunch
ducks
of ducks that aren't moving.
Still.
Yeah, you know, okay, those are duck hunters.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's crazy. But, yeah, you're right, though, absolutely. Anybody fishing South End Lagoon, parts of the river, especially near Peacock's Pocket.
Be careful.
Especially Peacock's Pocket. That's one of those spots where, man, someone's going to end up dying out there, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a madhouse out there this weekend. I would not doubt it, you know?
Yeah. So real quick, man, there's some things, some different styles of fishing we've been talking about wanting to try, or at least not try, but get back into. I definitely want to start fishing bridges again. Water temperature's dropping a little bit. You know, I see all these videos of Kayak Kevin and those guys, Rob Choi and all them, put up there at Virginia Beach, catching all these fish around the bridges and whatnot, and I forget how much fun it is to have fishing bridges. And a lot of folks don't know the variety of species that lives right here on the Space Coast that you can catch out of your kayak along the bridges. You got black drum, you got mangrove snappers, you got spade fish, you got big sheephead, you got redfish, you got whiting, pompano. Occasional grouper. What else, man? Tons of snook. Every now and again, you run into some tarpon around the bridges. Jack Crevels, ladyfish. I mean, pretty much everything that swims in the river, and things you wouldn't think swim in the river, you can find around the bridges, all of them. 528 Causeway is a great place to fish because you'll find a ton of fish in a small area where the old rubble is from the old bridge when it knocked it down. They left a lot of the rubble on the bottom. And I know guys who've gone over there and fished live pinfish for groupers in the rubble and gotten rocked up and couldn't move the fish. I know guys also, too, who have float-lined shrimp through there and caught 2- and 3-pound mangrove snappers. So, you know, it's a good time of year to get out there and do some of that fishing, bridge fishing.
We're going to try the bridge over off of the causeway there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the causeway.
Try that bridge right there. I've heard some stories about that.
Yeah, I got a caller here on the line. I'm going to get to you in just a second, buddy. Don't hang up. Area code 904. Listen. In fact, the gentleman that just bought a Diablo kayak from us over there at Kayaks by Bo, he was telling me stories of the trout that he's caught off that bridge. And he's like, if you don't turn those fish, as soon as you feel the bite, you're never going to land them. He says he's caught more trout off that bridge that are in the upper 20s and over 30-inch range than anywhere else. He's been fishing out there for years. I know guys that have fished it every winter and crushed the mangrove snappers off it.
Yep.
Big ones, too. I'm talking 5-pounders.
That's the same thing I've heard about the mangrove snappers. I've heard some monster mangrove snappers there.
But the only thing is I don't know how close we can get to the actual bridge. I imagine you can get right up to it. You just can't go underneath it.
Yeah, I wonder. I'm going to find out. I'll find out to see how close we can get to that. That'll be something to try out.
Yeah, and also, too, because of the fact that you got to be really careful with when you hook something that you don't get drugged underneath the bridge. The last thing you need is the airboat to turn on. Listen, man, you know what happens. I was fishing in Port Canaveral for mangrove snapper one day in the kayak. And I threw a shrimp up underneath one of the docks, and as soon as the shrimp sank down out of sight, man, my line took off. And I tightened the drag down, palmed the spool, and I thought, I'm going to turn them. Well, I wasn't turning it, and it drug me straight up underneath the dock in the cruise terminal. Well, the cruise terminals, the docks are pretty big. I mean, they're tall, so there's plenty of headroom for you in a kayak to get underneath them. The only problem is that's illegal. And it just so happened that when I hooked this fish, the Coast Guard was behind me by about 50 yards sitting there watching me fish. And here I go scooting underneath the dock like I'm some kind of terrorist or something. And I finally got the fish turned. I got him up. And it was a good mangrove. He's a solid 4-pound mangrove snapper. And I put him in my lap, and I back paddled with one arm, like paddling backwards, and reached up and pushed off of one of the beams underneath the dock there. And when I come sliding out, I turn around and look, and they're, like, on me. And the guy who you could tell was in charge was laughing, and thank God he was. He goes, we just watched you get whooped and get drug underneath that dock, man. There's no way we can be mad at you right now. And you landed the fish, which is incredible. And I'm like, dude, thank you so much for understanding, man. I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't expect for that to happen. Like, well, you better make sure you bring a heavy enough anchor with you next time. But that would be interesting, Patrick. Look into that, man, because I'd like to know if we can fish, you know, as long as we stay on the one side of the bridge, we don't go underneath and over to the other side. That, God, possibilities are endless. But let me grab this caller real quick, area code 904. Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio.
What's up, brother? Rory Gregg here, checking in.
What's going on, Rory?
Nothing much, just out here at the old fishing bench in the garage, spooling up the reel, getting ready for a charter tomorrow. So missed calling in last week, so had to jump on board again this week.
Sweet. How's everything going on up there in Jacksonville, man?
Things are going good, man. Things are going real good. Got some really great weather. Bite was a little kind of off and on throughout the weekend, but definitely had a good bite. Actually, just did really well in the tournament. One of the very, very few tournaments my dad and I still fish out of the flats boat. Little community tournament. It's about 30 to 40 boats. But, yeah, ended up getting second in Slam and caught biggest trout. And just one of those days where, you know, you land your two fish, you know, within the first hour. Nice big trout, nice fat red on top. And then it's like, all right, let's go hunt for flounder. And then, of course, it was the same day as the big flounder pounder tournament. And they've just been, you know, just cleaning them out along the docks, along the intercoastals. But we just kind of stayed in the creeks and in the bay and, you know, got real skinny and had a pretty good tide. And just one of those days where you think the fish will be jumping in the boat. And after that, just, like, was really battling to get even just a keeper flounder. But we ended up with a, you know, a decent little keeper flounder, like 15 inches or something, just to get him on the board and complete the slam. And but it was a good day overall, good day. And the guy who actually won the tournament, because it's kind of an everything tournament. It's a little community tournament that my dad and I help out with every year. It's been going on for 8 years to help keep this little community center and little boat ramp going, because the city threatens to take it back pretty much every year because of taxes and everything else. So we help raise money, and we do a big raffle and everything. So my dad and I help MC it and all that. So, but the guy who won the tournament, he actually fished out of kayak. And the other guy who won one of the Calcuttas was also fishing out of a kayak. So it's really cool. It's kind of a, you know, a really great tournament and brings out a lot of good anglers from the kind of the area. So definitely shout out to Brandon for his win in the Flounder Pounder Kayak Division. That's his first big win, I think. He's been up and comer in some of the tournaments around here, younger dude, but he's fishing hard. And lady angler Katina took second. She's been competing really hard in a lot of tournaments. Great to see all the lady anglers really stepping up. I think kayak fishing really gives the ladies a chance to step out and look up on us dudes and in an individualistic way. And shout out to Ryan Connor, of course. He's had just a bang-up year. Guy's placed, I think, in the top five in every single tournament he's fished in this year, and he got third place. So I think they had a record number of boats in the tournament, and they had a heap of kayak anglers in the kayak division. So unfortunately, I didn't get to fish it because, you know, I was kind of pulling double duty that day in another tournament. But a good day overall for sure. How's the bite been down there?
The bite's been good, man. Really good. I saw the turnout there for the Flounder Pounder deal. Looked really good, and some nice fish were caught. I think, was it 9 pounds? Is the big fish or something like that?
Oh yeah, yeah. They're pulling in some doormats along the river for sure right now.
Yeah, that's a nice fish, man, for sure. I talked to some guys today that came into the kayak shop, and they were just got done fishing up in Oak Hill area. And for those of you that don't know, Oak Hill is pretty much like your main spot for tidal movement in the south end of the lagoon. So if you want to find out where the tide really starts to kind of turn, Oak Hill pretty much is about the spot where you really notice it. But they were fishing up there along the edge of the oysters and stuff, and they pulled some really nice flounder out of there. I was surprised, actually. They had two fish over 20 inches and a couple of smaller ones as well, which, it just bodes well for what we'll experience as the water temperatures drop a little bit more. We don't have near the flounder run that you guys get, but the last couple of years have been pretty darn good. So it should be pretty awesome.
Good deal.
The trout bite's been stellar. A lot of big fish. I mean, I don't know if you saw it, but I had a really good trout day. I'm not going to get back into it again, but since I told that will be the third time I told the story for the show. But caught some.
You were throwing
nice
that chicken off the chain, weren't you?
No, I wasn't actually, man. I switched it up, and I was throwing a Spook Junior in trout color. And
there you go. That's my dad's favorite all-time lure.
Yeah, that's Spook Junior.
I can't peel that thing off his rod.
Yeah, yeah. Mine's missing about half its paint. It's all cracked and chipped up, and now I need to replace the hooks on it because the big trout of the day damn near straightened all the hooks out. So,
The number one selling lure for Hedden is actually the Bone SL.
Really?
Yep. The Bone with that silver gill flash is their number one selling spook.
That's crazy.
And I would have thought it would have been just the natural or the trout, but, you know, obviously being kind of intimately connected with the company, with Practo, as one of our sponsors, you know, I've really gotten to learn from a lot of the guys at the trade shows over the years, you know, what products are moving and asking a lot of questions and really learning about the products. And yep, Bone SL, man. Our boy, fellow Hobie colleague, John Donahue over on the West Coast, man. Like, that's his go-to as well. And I know the Callahan brothers throw that pretty religiously as well. So, it's a good lure.
The guys over there on the West Coast have been crushing it, man. Catching some real nice reds at night, especially the Hobie dudes.
I've been seeing Barton posting some good stuff. Yeah, looking to get out on the – we got our last flood tide of the year. Well, not last one, but I'd say it's the last gas for the flood tide season this week. And it's really, really big floods. I mean, for this area, when we have tides in upwards of 7 foot, I mean, those are almost like – Savannah, Charleston type tide.
Yeah.
So I'm actually not going to go hit the flats tomorrow, which I'd like to give it a last go. But the water temperature's dropping a little bit. So, but, you know, when you have the big moon and you have the ultimate high tide, you also have the ultimate low tide. So we got high highs and low lows. So we got a negative 2 foot tide for 3 days in a row. And I'm going to take a regular, pretty much monthly charter customer of mine now out to get some real, real skinny creeks. And I love when we get these super negative tides because even the skinniest flats boats, it kind of scares them away from some areas. But
yeah,
for kayakers, it's a dream because we can scoot right in. And we'll be targeting some really big redfish that'll be schooling up. Low tide tomorrow's around 2 in the afternoon. So it's definitely going to be a ripper of a tide, but kind of have some little pathways and highways to kind of shortcut through to some areas behind Chicopit Bay and get back in these little pools where these massive, massive oyster rakes get exposed. And as the day heats up, and it's supposed to be a little bit overcast tomorrow too, so this time of year, you know, you could pretty much throw top water all day if you wanted, but just kind of work the popping corks and the jigs and target the edges of those real shallow, shallow pockets around those big oyster rakes. As the heat of the day warms that structure up, the fish will just start to really just mud in and gravitate to those areas. So they're nice and frisky right now.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm excited about this upcoming winter, man, and the water staying cool like this. And definitely going to do some more exploring a little bit further north and try and hit some areas in the lagoon that I have never hit before and venture my way eventually up there to the Jacksonville area and do some fishing up there. I haven't done any of that ever.
Anytime you want to come, brother. Mi casa, su casa.
No, I definitely appreciate it, man. And it's definitely on my list of things to do for sure. That Charleston area, as you mentioned, man, that is such a cool, really cool fishery. Scuba Stan,
yeah.
I don't know if he's still there in the chat room, but Scuba Stan, yeah, he is. Scuba Stan is from up that way. He's actually the harbor master at Charleston Marina, which is the largest marina in South Carolina. And he took us back up into the flood tide for filming purposes one day, and it was just to see it was pretty darn cool, man. We had
yeah,
to sit out.
Yeah, fishing that area is real similar here.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're a little bit more tidal, and obviously they got, yeah, as far as like, I mean, it's salt marshes and mud and oysters and sandbars and big drops and rivers. I mean, they got a zillion rivers, and same with like Charleston area. It's just kind of finding your places to launch and, you know, picking out your float plans and, you know, riding the tide, you know, the old saying, live and die by the tide. So just kind of finding out those float plans and getting into those places where, you know, you can just let the tide kind of give you the lazy river ride and head on into some really cool spots. And yeah, I mean, I've fished up there a few times. I love going up there as well. Definitely a little cooler in the winter, but you know, during the prime times of the year, the bite can be really on, and very similar style of fishing. But, yeah, man, you should get up here for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely want to. It's funny. We got some of our local guys that are, like, tied with the Hexatide, and they just don't even get a tide, man. And 90% of what we fish, there's zero tide movement. And
yep. It's all tidal up here.
Fishing. Yeah, it definitely makes for some interesting fishing when you go from being so used to not worrying about tide to go fish an area that's loaded with tide. I mean, just in a big swing like that, a 6 or 7 foot swing, it's kind of crazy. But
it's a different world.
It is. And it's a completely different way of fishing and preparing and everything else. And it's really cool to be able to go to an area that you're not accustomed to and trying to adapt. And when we were up in Virginia Beach, to me, it was alien. I mean, I'm fishing in areas I didn't know where the heck I was. Don't know. We launched at 9 o'clock in the morning after everybody's been out on the water for 3 hours and had no clue where the heck we were going. We had no local with us, and nobody really even told us where to go. But to be able to go around and finally find some fish, it was pretty cool. Definitely pays off, man. And then you get that sense of accomplishment when you go to an area you're not used to and catch some fish there. So I definitely want to try and get up there for the Classic this year.
Yeah, man.
Or the next one anyways. And then, it'll just be fun. We'll just we'll have to get a bunch of us from down here to head up there and for like a weekend or something like that. I know I can get at least
seven
for me. But cool. Well, plug yourself, man. If people want to go kayak fishing with you up there in Jacksonville and they want to get a hold of you because you are the man up that way, how do they get a hold of you?
You can go to my website at www.chicopitbay.com, ChicoPitBay, ChicoPitBay.com, 904-208-8900. And my full name is just Rory Austin Gregg at Yahoo.com. Give me a call, check out the site, shoot me an email, and book a charter and come have a blast.
So you want to name drop your sponsors real quick?
Definitely a shout out to Pradco and Bomber Baits, Haddon Lures, all the great companies like Hobie Kayaks, Daiwa, and T. Allen Rods, Boomerang Tools, and quite a few others, Waterman Appliance Science, all the companies that help me keep my game going strong, and definitely check out some of the great products they have to offer. Top notch.
Killer. Appreciate it, Rory, as always, man. You always give such a good report, man, and hopefully we get on the water together here soon.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, as always. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, no worries, bro. Take it easy, man. Tight line. So, Rory gives us such good reports. Makes me want to drive to Jacksonville tomorrow. A little bit past 9 o'clock and pretty much through. But, let's see.
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yes!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Again, that is the great voice of one and only Mr. Steve Chapman. Appreciate that soundbite, buddy. And I will not be doing any streaking on federal property. However, it will be a good time, had by all. And, come on out. If you're not already signed up to join us at the Boondoggle in February, basically it's the 14th through the 18th now, it seems. So many people are showing up early. Go ahead and reserve your name or put your name on a list to kind of reserve a spot. You can't pick a location to camp. It's first come, first serve when you get there, but there's plenty of room. There's no way we can fill it, and we want to see everybody out there. We've got a great list of sponsors who have stepped up to take care of us for our door prizes. Get your lawn chairs and your adult beverages prepared for that part of the festivities on Saturday night because it's going to take a while. And then, It should be a great time, man. It always is. I know Captain Mike Ortega is thinking about trying to make it out there in some form or fashion, I think, for a day or so. Tackle Webs, of course, is always a great sponsor of everything that goes on with Fishing Florida Radio, Kayak Fishing Radio, and YakAngler.com. So we appreciate that, Mike. And, yeah, it's going to be a good time, man. It's going to be a really good time. Again, thank you to everyone for listening, tuning in tonight. Chat room has been packed all night long. I appreciate that. Guests, once again, if you're in there as a guest, you can always sign in using your Facebook page. If you have problems doing that, hit me up on Facebook. Either you can type in Redfish Chuck in your search engine there, and you'll find me. If not, you just type in Charles Levi, and I should come up. And then if we're not friends, friend me. If you have any questions, comments, concerns about the show, things you'd like to hear, things you wouldn't like to hear, whatever, I like all feedback. Feel free to email me at redfishchuck@hotmail.com. And then real quick, I would like to send out a quick congratulations to those of you who have been chosen to be part of the Kayaks by Bo Pro Staff. I say that like I didn't have anything to do with it. I hand-selected a few guys that are pretty much my local heroes here that I know will do a good job and help to promote Tom and Lynn's business, and then also be good stewards of the sport and help us to grow the sport into what I think we can do, which would be make this the most popular form of fishing on the planet, especially in our local area. But Lenny over there at Black Dog Custom Rods is our newest member. Definitely appreciate everything he's done thus far. And then, you know, if you're looking for a custom rod, look him up. If you're looking for tackle storage solutions, you're tired of your milk crate, you flip over your kayak and you lose everything into the drink, or you don't have a place to put your waterproof box when it's not snap shut to be waterproof, put it in the back of your tackle webs bag, on the back of your Jackson kayak seat, or underneath your seat, or strap it down on the back of your kayak there. And do backflips off your Diablos. No, I'm kidding. Thanks again a whole lot to Orca Coolers. Way to step up, guys. Appreciate that. That's big. They'll be donating a rotomolded cooler to our donations, our door prizes. I believe they're even going to come down and join us and hang out with us for the weekend, which would be awesome. Yeah, that's pretty much all. Oh, no, actually, I got a couple more things to go over real quick. Friends of the Fish of Florida radio show, the Swamp Brothers, they have a cancer foundation. I believe it is Castaway for Recovery. Mike, I believe that's what it is. Or Castaway for Castaway Against Cancer, Castaway for Recovery. I'm just having a mental breakdown right now because it's been over an hour of me trying to come up with things to talk to you fine folks about. Castaway Against Cancer, that's what I thought it was. Check them out. Again, a great group of guys. Some of the funniest dudes I think you'll ever meet. They're completely out of their mind. Super nice. We've extended the invitation out to Robbie for them to come on out and hang out with us at the Boondoggle. It would be cool if they show up. I know that Snake Girl will be all excited to be able to talk to a fellow herpetologist. And, you know, they do a really cool kayak event every year to raise money for their organization, where they paddle from South Florida all the way down to Key West to raise money. So when that goes to happen, maybe a group of us can go down there and follow them and kind of lend some support. But good stuff. Also, too, like I say, keep your eyes peeled for Facebook for the Fish Skins Kayak Tournament that we'll start to organize, hopefully right after the Boondoggle for me, because I got about as much as I can stand right now on my plate. And that's pretty much all I got. Make sure if you get out there on the water, you're safe. Stay away from duck hunters and their decoys. Otherwise, you get peppered, and we'll read about you in the paper. And with that, Thank you very much to my sponsors, Jackson Kayaks, Ben Branch's Paddles, Yeti Coolers, Tackle Webs, Mike, you are the man, and Kayaks by Bo, YakAngler.com, BloodyDecks.com. Check out Slayer Inc. I'm not on a pro staff. I'm not sponsored by Slayer. Chris Sensi's just my boy, and Pepe and I and Alan and all the rest of you now believers in the product are getting crazy with it. Hook One, Chad Hoover, thank you very much for hooking me up. Check out the new updated helpemilynow.org. Make sure you guys tune into that and see, you know, watch for any changes on that website. Great organization to help out a beautiful little girl and our good friend Austin. And that's it. Take a kid fishing. They're the future of our sport. And without them, life kind of pretty much sucks. And don't forget, look at me, Elusive Tales fishing apparel. I'm not even with it tonight, man. Marcella, a good friend of the show, good friend of all of ours, doing her thing over there in Orlando. Elusive Tales fishing apparel. If you need apparel to be able to go out to dinner with your wife and not look like a redneck, check out Elusive Tales. They make very nice clothing, very sophisticated, very just proper looking. There you go. That's the word of the night, proper looking. Whatever. Tight lines, everybody. Thanks again for everyone listening into the show, tuning into the podcast. Appreciate all the support, man. This year has been absolutely incredible. Our numbers are way better than we ever thought we'd ever be able to get to. And we couldn't do it without you guys. And with that, I'm out. The tight lines, God bless. Everybody be safe. We'll talk to you next week. Check out the next shows. We got the Losers tomorrow, Wheeler the next day, and Chip the Godfather on Thursday. Good night.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaky! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit YakAngler.com, your ultimate resource.